statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, given much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
The Spirit would have us to look at some important scriptures in the book of Ephesians. And I'm calling this teaching today, We Press On. We Press On. And I think by the title, we're all understanding and learning that we cannot go by what we feel, what we see, what we hear. Everything that goes on around us, we indeed walk by faith with our eyes fully looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So we're calling this today, We Press On. And I want to really look at why we press on, because it is about Christ's body that he has left in the world to be a light, to be an example, but his body is also a remnant. And that is why. And we see that it is important that we continue to press on, and we are empowered by the Spirit in which to do so. I believe that one of the basic things that God does with us, that he moves us by the power of his Spirit so that no flesh will glory in any of the work that he is doing. For we are indeed that clay in the potter's hand, the master's hand, in which he is molding and shaping and perfecting us. But the book of Ephesians is a very, very blessed book, because it's not only about the body of Christ, it reveals to us how the bride is making herself ready, how he has left his body on the earth to be that example, to be that light. But the book of Ephesians reveals to us how greatly blessed we are. And that in many ways, the book of Ephesians shows us God's bank account that we can take from. And it shows us that we are accepted by him. He's adopted us. It shows us our redemption that we have in Jesus Christ, and that how he has forgiven us, and that the plan of redemption, salvation, is the wisdom of God being revealed to us through his body. We're not only that, but we have that great inheritance. He sealed us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have sold that is stamped upon us. We see also our life is a walk of grace and mercy and forgiveness. We are citizenships set in heaven. That is where our place is. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And he's given us a spiritual wealth, even in this life, in Jesus Christ. Not only that, but it shows us we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ. What for? For good works. And that we should walk in all of this. It also teaches us our spiritual weapons, that they're not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they're spiritual in Jesus Christ. There's such a wealth to be found, I should say, in this epistle. And I want us to think upon this as we look at some of these things, as I believe the Holy Spirit will address us today. So as I say, we're calling our teaching, we press on. And I want us to start off with something very familiar in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 to 10. Because this is where, in the body of Christ, we are set as members in his body, where he makes us sensitive, not only to our walk of faith, but our sensitivity to each other and the general needs to be found in the body. And we'll start with this in Ephesians chapter 2, and verses 5 to 10. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by the grace you have been saved. So he says, even though we were in sin, blinded, yet through the mercy and grace of God, he has saved us, filled us with the Holy Spirit, sealed us, so that we may be made alive together with Christ. So we're made alive, we're made new, new creations, not in ourselves, not in the old nature, but the new nature that's now been created and made in us through Jesus Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice it speaks not just about you, but all of us together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So our experience should be all the same. It shouldn't just be one or two experiencing this, but all together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his glory in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So there comes times and periods when he reveals the riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So this is why we go through seasons. And those seasons at times reveal what he has done and he is doing in and through us as his body, his members, set together in fellowship and unity. What for? To reveal his kindness towards us. Why his kindness? Because that is his nature, that is his heart, that he first loved us, but also that it influences us, it affects us. This love, this kindness that God bestows upon us is so great, so powerful, that we share it with each other in our fellowship, in our prayers, intercessions, and our practical ways of helping. That's why. What for? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So God's kindness towards us, his love, his grace, his mercy, is that he first loved us, And he says that by grace you have been saved through faith. Didn't have to do that. He didn't have to give that gift of faith in order to believe. But he has. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So he's going to make sure that if you really have received the grace and love and mercy of God, you have received his new nature in your life, you are surely going to see that this is not in anything I can boast in. This is a work of grace and mercy for the glory of God. And everything that God does through us, even when he chastens us, and he does, because that's a sign he loves us, so that none of us can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. FGA is created in Christ Jesus for good works. It is his work. It is his creation. None of us boast in any of this. And he prepared all of this before the foundation of the world that we should walk in them. So his creation, his work that he is doing in this assembly is for the purpose that we walk in it. So do you realize, do you understand that even this meeting today is his creation, that we walk in it? Our meeting together, our coming together is that he created that in Jesus Christ, and we walk in it. We don't walk opposite to it. So that everything he does in his body with us corporately is his handy work for the purpose that we, none of us, boast in any of it. And of course the same with the ministries that he sets in the body as well. All we do is walk in it. Everything we do, everything we say, this message that he's teaching us today, we walk in it. It's already being done, created in Jesus Christ. Every jot and tittle of this meeting, this word, has all been created in Jesus Christ. Before the foundation of the world. This is why we walk by faith, because faith walks in that which Jesus has done. This is why you cannot go wrong. Even in our warfare, in Ephesians 6 that he teaches us, he shows us the victories already won. There is no other army on planet Earth than God's army who has already won the victory. Why do we doubt? Why do we still entertain doubts and fear and unbelief? If we walk in the Spirit, then we have the confidence that whatever we face, we already have that victory in Jesus Christ. Your problem is because there's still times you walk in the flesh. And that is where the doubting is. And that's where unbelief is. That is where confusion is. And why do we at times walk in the flesh? Because we go out of the will of God. I want my will. I want my way. I don't want God's ways. I only want God's ways when they suit me and they fit in with my plans. And that is our problem. You see? And this is why we waver. But when you confidently are walking each day in Jesus, in what he has planned for us, knowing that he has gone before and prepared the way. You're simply walking in his footsteps. And this is how our Lord walked on the earth. He had that confidence, knowing that his Father had gone before and he was simply walking in his footsteps. That's why he didn't doubt. He knew. He knew that whatever he encountered, whatever needs were presented before him, he knew his Father had gone before and prepared the way. He already knew the victory was won. When he went to Calvary, even though he sweated it out in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was still the principle his Father had gone before. He was already raised up in glory. He just in the flesh had to go through and fulfill what scriptures said would happen, fulfill prophecy. But it was already done. The victory was already done. He was able to keep by faith his eyes on the resurrection. And this is what our faith does. Our problem is when we allow sin to enter, or we miss the mark, and we don't pray, we don't get our hearts right, we don't get our sin covered by the blood of Jesus. And eventually we get it. If we want to continue, keep coming and keep pressing on. How do you get it? Because God has a way of making you so miserable, so unhappy, so unfulfilled, lack of peace in your mind. He allows the enemy to buffet you, to show you that you eventually get it because you don't want to walk that way. You don't want to entertain it anymore. You want to get the devil off your back. And then you start to tell him to go. As we all so often say, the devil only has access because you let him have it. And he'll always work on our weaknesses. But praise God, even the Lord says that in our weakness, he makes us strong. What does he mean by that? He means that he's going to get you to the end of yourself in your weaknesses so that those doors can be finally closed so the enemy doesn't have access. This is why I say we can't go wrong. Everything is for us. And this is why the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians. He was trying to show them that they were rich in Christ. He was trying to remind them, you don't know how blessed you are. You do not know what you have received, Ephesians. And he's addressing it exactly the same to FGA. He is reminding us how wealthy we are in Jesus Christ. What we can draw from our bank account, that God has given us in Jesus Christ. He is reminding us because we forget it. We listen still too much to the enemy. We need to remember that we have been bought with a price. And this is why I keep saying you go back to Calvary. You go back because you see what God did in purchasing you. And when you miss the mark, when you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he's going to bring you back to Calvary and he's going to show you what it cost him to redeem you, to forgive you, and to continue to do that. And rightly so, because the Ephesians were losing sight of that. They had lost sight of their first love. We know that in Revelation to the first church he addresses. He commends their discernment. He says, you've got all the ministry. You've got the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You are having the meat of the word. But I've got this one thing against you. You have left your first love. And what does that mean? That they had lost sight of what it had cost our Lord to redeem me. How dare I go independently of him? How dare I disrespect that? That's what it's meaning, you see. Doesn't it sound familiar? Of course it does. And this is why the Lord's addressing this. It's because he loves us. And look what it says in verses 11 to 13. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the uncircumcision made in the flesh by hands. Because if Christ had not dealt with sin at Calvary, you and I are dogs. We are unclean in God's sight. That is why the Jews found it offensive when God was starting to forgive Gentiles. We know this with Peter. He had a problem with this. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God and without the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, being brought near by the blood of Christ. We had no hope whatsoever. We were eternally destined for the pit. But because of Israel's failure, rebellion, we have a chance and are grafted in. But don't take that for granted, the Lord shows us. We now can partake of the covenant of promises that were only for Israel. Look at the wisdom and mind of God. And this is the emphasis of all of this in this wonderful epistle that this apostle writes to the churches in Asia, and certainly to Ephesus at its time. And so the Holy Spirit, who sealed us with the promise, reveals to us what we have inherited. Let's look in chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. So he says, I am a prisoner. And many of his epistles were written from prison. But he says, I've chosen to become a prisoner, even though I am a Jew. I am a Pharisee. I know the law. I, by grace, have been forgiven like you, which he was. He says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it now has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of our God given to me by the effective working of his power. So notice how the apostles, the chief apostle himself, now is revealing the mystery. You see, Israel was Christ's church in the wilderness, but it was hid from the world. The revelation of it was only revealed to Israel as a nation. Now this mystery has unfolded because he's now said that Gentiles can now be grafted and brought into this. And his great plan will be unfolded for it to be fully seen, particularly in the kingdom age when Jesus comes to rule and reign. That is why he's not forsaken Israel, even though she's put to one side. And even though her history is so checkered, he has not forsaken her. Even with what is going on at the moment in the Middle East with Israel and Palestine and all and these terrible atrocities, he has not given up on her. The nations are giving up on her, which is prophesied, because they don't like what she's doing, and it is wrong. But he has not given up on her. Because everyone politically thinks they should, thinks she should be judged. They're all now coming of the opinion that Israel shouldn't exist anymore as a nation, with all that she's doing, wiping out a nation. Genocide. That is the opinion. Don't let them exist. Wipe them off the planet. They're nothing but trouble. That's the opinion now that's coming of most, turning against Israel, which prophecy says will happen, but God doesn't. They're still his peculiar treasure. They are still of the seed of Abraham. And that's why we pray for them. It is a mess, naturally. Our lives were like that, a mess. We're not to judge Israel. We're to pray God's mercy. This is why we do not get involved politically with this. With political Zionism. It's corrupt. Our wisdom comes from above. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We see the bigger picture. Because we see the end result of what will be achieved. We're going to see political things getting worse and worse on the earth. They can't discern between their left hand and right hand. It's not just the government of Israel, but it's all governments now. The corruption, the confusion. It's just off the chart. Why? Because we know that God is shaking the heavens and the earth. And it's going to get infinitely worse. We're seeing insanity, psychotic behavior on levels that we've never seen before. As so many people say to me, the world's gone crazy. It literally has and is. Because God is shaking the heavens and the earth. Because none of it is clean in his sight. And this shaking is going to shake and bring down all the powers of darkness and the very devil himself, who blinds the eyes of most. And our eyes were blinded, but it was the mercy of God that opened our eyes. Our only answers, our only future lies as we look to Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. He is the captain of our faith, and he is leading and marching forward. This is why we press on. We walk with him and know other, because there's going to come one who will counterfeit him and they will think he is the Messiah. He is Jesus. And he's coming with all weaponry. He's going to come with miracles, counterfeit, that if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. But the Lord brings us back. And what does he do? He brings us back to the cross. Because you cannot counterfeit the cross. The cross is the center of it all. And that's why we also daily take up our cross daily and follow Christ. The cross is your deliverance. The cross is your revelation. The cross is your fellowship with Christ. The cross is fellowship with each other. You leave the cross out, you do not have fellowship, not true koinonia. And that's our problem. We put it down at times. We forget about it. But we mustn't. And that's why we're brought near by the blood of the Lamb, as we've read here in verses 11 to 13. And that's why, you see, the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we have inherited as a result of all of this, of our sin being paid, the price of it being paid at Calvary. Let's just remind ourselves again. Let's look in chapter 3. Of where all this mystery is being revealed to us. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. And he begins then to write this mystery. That you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. So he's praying that you understand this, that was given by the Spirit through the prophets. That the Gentiles, verse 6, should by the same body be partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So we see the gifts that God gives to the church, and those gifts have not ceased. They still are here today. What is it saying, verses 9 to 13? And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Notice, everything is created through Jesus Christ. He was there at the beginning, creating the world. The Godhead was there for his glory, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. This revelation is being made known to the powers of darkness for the purpose that they will be brought down, for the purpose that we are entering the last final battle of this dispensation before Christ comes to rule and reign. And the church must make this known to the powers of darkness and Satan. And how is it made known? By your commitment, by your faith, by your confession, by your spiritual warfare, by your obedience to Christ, walking in fellowship and with each other, continuing to come, listening to the word. All of that reveals to the powers, principalities in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And that's what he's saying. He said, I'm going through hardship. I'm going through imprisonments. I'm going through beatings. I'm being scourged. I'm being rejected. I'm going through all of this. Don't be discouraged by this, because I'm revealing to you what this is all about. Your inheritance. It had to take that hardship for the Christians to believe. Look how God works, ways past finding out. What is it saying? Chapter 4, 29 to 32. 29 to 32, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That is how it can be imparted. Love opens the door for all of this, for us to inherit. And this is why the enemy tries to cause these divisions in the body of Christ. Because he doesn't want you to enter into your inheritance. And this is the way he does it. He's clever. And we close doors to all of this. What does it say in chapter 5, 15 to 21? See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another in the fear of God. That is what we do as a body, to encourage one another. This opens the door of blessing. When we do these things, when we walk in the wisdom of God and not our own wisdom and thinking, this is what opens the doors to blessing in his body. And the devil doesn't want us to be blessed, where we receive our healing, our wholeness in mind, body, and spirit, where our financial needs are met, where God can bless, where your prayers of faith can be answered. It's not rocket science. And if Satan can keep Christ's body divided, he keeps it in weakness. It's not blessed. Saints aren't blessed. Their prayers then are hindered. And so it goes on. That's why, you see, the enemy at times knows more than we do. And that's why we have to come to the Word of God and see it there, because that is our deliverance, you see. And for these blessings that he gives us, we have to be protected. And where is the protection? Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he goes on, you know it well. We've quoted it so many times, because you're not up against flesh and blood. You're up against powers, principalities, dominions. And that's why God is delivering us, closing those doors to the mind that hinders the body from coming into its true unity and oneness. There have been times, brothers and sisters, even in my position as pastor, where I've asked the Lord, Lord, am I hindering this body I'm identified to? Am I hindering this from coming on into maturity and oneness? Am I the problem at this point? We all have to ask that question. And when you begin to do that, that's as a sign you're taking your fellowship, unity and oneness seriously. It's a sign you're humbling yourself before God. Because there are times we don't always know. We think we're right. We try and justify ourselves. We don't know. We don't know anything unless God opens our eyes. And when he does, oh yes, you can feel very ashamed. But boy, what a healing, what a deliverance. You see? God makes no mistake in his body and those he baptizes and places into it for unity, oneness, fellowship. What for? For the glory of God, that he might take his rightful place as head over us. And we will begin to see these blessings flow, healing flowing from the grace of God, deliverances, blessings, answers to your prayers, healing in our fellowship, healing in marriages. And so it goes on. We are often the problem because we want to do it in our way, and we can't. We have to yield over to the Spirit and let him work that through us. We couldn't even save ourselves. We're that far gone. It is a work of grace. And I remind us again, just as we close with this, as he says in Ephesians 2:5-10, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is what God has done. And that is what we walk in by grace, by God's mercy, and by faith, believing that he works that in and through me as I yield to the Spirit and allow him to do it. As I said many times, each one of us, he is building through us for his body, for habitation, for his headship, for his glory. That is why each of us are so vital and important for the manifestation of God's glory in the assembly. Praise God. We press on.